persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Paul Revere's lantern lighter is lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse House and your beloved brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Folks, the devil is a clever liar. Let's try to sort out this Sessions Light to Franken Russian conspiracy thingy. It's rather like Brer Rabbit slapping the tar baby. The harder you try to disengage, the more engaged they stuck you are. Did Sessions lie to Franken? Did Sessions collude with Russia via contacts with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak? I guess that's how you say his name. Kislyak. To influence the last election in favor of Trump? First, who is this ambassador, Sergei Kislyak? Second, did Sessions lie? And third, what's really going on here? And after that, we'll look at Trump's speech and progress report and a briefing on Obama's shadow government. And our theme is the devil is a clever liar. So, folks, let's get on with your brain massage. Okay, look, the Sessions lied to Franken Russian conspiracy thingy. Did Sessions lie to Al Franken? Did he collude with Russia, through contacts with Russian Ambassador Kislyak, to influence the last election in favor of Trump? So who is this Sergei? Russia's Ambassador Kislyak was appointed to the United States in 2008. He kind of came in with Obama, and his specialty, by the way, is arms negotiation. According to Matthew Rojansky, who directs the Wilson Institute in D.C. and a reputed expert on U.S. relations with the former Soviet Union, particularly Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, and Moldova, Kislyak, quote, has real technical mastery of the details from his time as a nuclear negotiator, end quote. Or, in other words, his expertise is in the areas of armed control and security issues. Sent to become ambassador of America at the time Obama came in. He was appointed to serve Russia as ambassador in 08. During Obama's campaign for re-election, you remember in 2012, in a conversation with Russian President Medvedev, then president of Russia, by the way, discussing reducing U.S. nuclear arms, and by the way, no mention of corresponding reduction in Russian arms, by the way, it appears from the tone of the conversation and what was said that Obama had not performed as expected in this area. And so Obama kind of leans into him, not knowing the mic was open, by the way, leaned into him and kind of quietly assured him, quote, on all these issues, but particularly missile defense, this can be solved, but it's important for him, he's referring to Vladimir, to give me space, end quote. To which Russian President Medvedev says, quote, yeah, I understand. I understand your message about space. Space for you, end quote. And President Obama interjects, quote, this is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility, end quote. And Russian President Medvedev says, quote, I understand. I will transmit this information to Vladimir. And I stand with you, end quote. Well, that's interesting. I stand with you. Was that a message that Russia hoped Obama would win? Perhaps Russia operatives interfered with our elections then. Obama did say Russia interfering with our elections was, well, old news. Remember that on The Daily Show to, I think it's Trevor Noah? Obama said, quote, Russia trying to influence our elections dates back to the Soviet Union, end quote. And then he proceeded to dismiss Russia's hacking of the Pentagon emails as not a particularly sophisticated form of espionage. And that's back in December 13, 2016. But when Trump got elected, he changed his tune, decided to go all ballistic on Russia. Well, they needed a scapegoat to explain away Hillary's and Obama's thumping by Trump. And then something's been bothering me right along with all of this, by the way. I've reflected on this often. When did socialist communist Obama, who never made a dictator he didn't love, become the enemy of Putin? Or reset button Hillary, for that matter. I mean, when did the Democrats fall out with Russia? I still remember Kennedy sending a message to Andropov, plotting to undermine the foreign policy of then-President Ronald Reagan. These guys, I mean the Dems, have been playing footsie under the table with the Ruskies for a very long time. And now my next observation, Kislyak is a favorite among the Dems. Oh, yeah, even now. Sure, check him out sitting there with the Dems during Trump's speech. Oh, yeah. And isn't it interesting, the trouble we are having running down those leaks, you know, that exposed Flynn's meeting with Kislyak? And then suddenly, almost as if it's a setup, Sessions' meeting with Kislyak surfaces. All of it timed so beautifully, don't you think? The devil is a clever liar. Are the Dems and Russians arguing on top of the table while playing footsie under it? The devil is a clever liar, but good guys don't lie well. So the second point, did Sessions lie? Well, by now you've heard the soundbite, or you've read the quote, or watched the video clip showing Sessions telling Franken that he had not spoken or met with the Russians. And then the subsequent revelation that, in fact, he did meet with Kislyak twice during the Trump campaign. Now, what you don't see in that video clip or read in those quotations, those excerpts, is the full context of that interchange, which makes it clear in the context that it was a reference to Sessions' activity as part of Trump's campaign versus his activity as a senator. In other words, the question was very obviously about whether Sessions met with or talked to the Russians in any capacity related to his relationship with the Trump campaign. Quote, Sessions' defense has been that he was answering the confirmation hearing question with regard to his involvement in the campaign, not his general responsibilities as a senator, which involves talking with foreign diplomats. Sessions' spokesperson, Sarah Isgur-Flores, said Sessions, quote, was asked during the hearing about communications between Russia and the Trump campaign, not about meetings he took as a senator and a member of the Armed Services Committee, end quote. But this explanation means nothing to the sharks, you know, who have already tasted Flynn's blood, and now they circle Sessions, hungry. Perhaps I should have used the biblical analogy of that lion, you know, that goes about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is a clever liar, and the media are lying. You see, Lynch's meeting with Clinton, no big deal, even though at that time indictments against Hillary were being pondered. Democrat Senator Claire McCaskill, yeah, is one of the lions, one of the lion cubs, I should say, circling Sessions and licking her lips, self-righteously calling for Sessions to step down. She tweeted she had never, ever met with Russia's ambassadors. I mean, she emphasized never, ever. When it was revealed that, in fact, she had met with the very same Kislyak, who, it appears, is poison to Republicans, but the Dems, it appears, or it seems, have the antidote. She explained, well, that was a meeting that involved other ambassadors also in my capacity with a group of other senators, and that's in my official capacity. That's nothing. That's my job, end quote. So, if McCaskill says she has never met with the Russians, and it's learned that she actually has met with the Russians, and she explains that, however, the meeting was in connection with her role as senator, well, that makes it okay to say she never met with the Russians. Very strange. Whereas, if Sessions is asked whether he met with the Russians in his role as part of Trump's campaign and says he did not, and subsequently it is discovered that actually he did meet with the Russians in his capacity as senator, well, then that's a lie. You see what I mean? Devils are clever liars, but the good guys don't lie well. I mean, what kind of idiot would say they never, ever met with the Russians if, in fact, they did, knowing full well someone out there knows about the meeting? Eh, Claire? Anyway. Only Democrats are that stupid. And why? Well, they don't have to watch their back. The progressive Soros-owned media takes care of that for them, so they can relax. But the conservatives, they'd better not relax for 1 minute, because the lions circling the camp are clever liars. Third. So what is actually going on here anyway? Those who know Senator Sessions will tell you that he's not a liar. His explanation is perfectly acceptable to me for the simple reason that, well, I watched the Al Franken Sessions exchange, and I can tell you that, in fact, the context of the conversation makes it clear it was about concerns about conversations going on between Trump's campaign and the Russians. And Sessions was answering the question in the context of that exchange. And folks, if there's anything I know about, it's the importance of contextual interpretation. So, being somewhat of an authority on that subject, I can assure you, Sessions did not lie. Trump thinks he could have handled the matter better, could have been more careful in his response. I agree with that. You see, when you've got lions circling you everywhere you go, looking for an opportunity to pounce and devour you, indeed, you need to be very circumspect. I don't think Trump should have thrown Flynn to the lions, quite frankly. You know, I don't know a lot about whether Flynn actually knowingly sought to deceive Pence. If he did, well, that was a misstep that put him in the lion's mouth. I think it's clear to anyone interested in the truth, however, that Sessions did not attempt to deceive Franken. Ha! He did not intentionally spit in Frankenstein. But the monster Franken and the progressives are trying to create is indeed a Frankenstein monster. What is going on here anyway? The Russian ambassador, friend of Dems since 08, and the Russians connected at the hip with the Dems since the 50s, what, tries to feed Flynn and Sessions to his buds on the left? Gotta play both sides, you know? These devils are clever liars. Trump's going to build up our military in a major way. Putin's gotta know that. That's exactly what the Russians don't want. They were much happier with Obama, you know. The guy that sent a message to Vladimir that he could be much more flexible in giving the Russians what they wanted in America's nuclear arms reductions after his election. Think. And he's done things in that direction. Who really are the friends here? Just think it through, my friends. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal, to release norepinephrine neurotransmitters, and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Pastor Scheidbach is Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Keep the lights burning. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make a donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The Thought Provocateur is available on the web. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheinbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singing the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The devil is a clever liar. In fact, he's the father of it. His team, you know, the children of disobedience, as the Bible calls them, That is, those who refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of all, to whom has been given all power in heaven and earth. They are pretty good at lying, you know. God's kids, not so much. In fact, when it comes to the children of obedience, they don't even have to actually lie to be called a liar. You know, if they simply misstate a fact or repeat something they sincerely thought was true, but it turns out it wasn't. Whoa, the devil kids, howl, yalal, you Lucifers, how liar, liar, liar. You'd never hear the end of it. And you stand there looking at them, shaking your head, wondering, what's with these jackals? You know, someone inadvertently misspeaks, and they're not trying to deceive anyone. But on the other hand, if the devils lie and they get caught, well, it's ignored. It's defended, it's protected, it's promoted, but those days are coming to an end, my friend. The days are coming when Isaiah's prophecy will be fulfilled. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. The vile person shall no more be called liberal. Isaiah 32, verse 5. And the word vile here translates to Hebrew word nabal. It means stupid, wicked person, a person that's morally bad. It will be a glad day when finally the liars will be exposed and the truth will be told. And the sheep and the goats will be separated at last, and the truth will set forth his righteous judgment. Alas, meanwhile, let us be thankful for what mercy we have been shown. And let's take a look at Trump's actions in his efforts to begin turning this ship of state back to the right. Trump's speech was probably the best ever. I mean, he stayed on point, made some very, very good points, by the way. He even impressed Van Jones. You know, when Trump spoke to Karen Owens, widow of Naval Chief William Ryan Owen, died as a warrior, this is a quote from Trump's speech, died as a warrior and a hero battling against terrorism and securing our nation, end quote. Well, Van Jones saw and heard that and said this, quote, and he became president of the United States at that moment, period, end quote. Well, that's been the problem with these liberals. They don't seem to understand that he became president when he was sworn into that office. But anyway, I think we all understand what Mr. Jones was getting at. A compliment from Van Jones, however, should be unsettling for any conservative. But I thought it was interesting that what I also noticed in Trump's recent speech before Congress joint session, even liberals had to notice, he sounded presidential. And really, really, and we'll get offended in me here, but in my opinion, for the first time, he held on to the mantle, or put it this way, he took on the mantle of this high office of the President of the United States, and he appeared for the first time in my mind to really have the shoulders for it. In Trump's speech, he declared that the draining of the swamp was begun. But, of course, there's the naysayers on the left. And in this case, I'm using the Washington Post fact-checker analysis of the speech to kind of get their side on this thing by pointing out that the swamp still has water in it. The swamp still has muck in it. Well, folks, he said he had just begun to drain it, so give it some time, you know. They point out that, well, he did strike an executive order 5-year ban on lobbying. But they explain, he told us he wanted to extend that ban to congressional officials. But his ban only applies to administration officials, and furthermore, it does not ban them from becoming lobbyists, but from lobbying on behalf of one's former agency. But and it does include a permanent ban on lobbying on behalf of foreign governments. All right. Said this begins the drain. Now, that's a far cry better than what we got with Obama. Okay? We're still waiting for, quote, the rise of the oceans to begin to slow and the planet to begin to heal. All right. Hey, we never even got the jobs for the jobless they had promised. In fact, under Obama, more people joined the ranks of those that are out of work than at any other time in our history. And do you want to know why I have to state it in so convoluted a way? Well, we can't just simply say the ranks of the unemployed anymore, because in order to hide the former president alleged abysmal record on job production, they had to redefine the unemployment crowd so that those who had given up and simply dropped out of work would no longer be counted as unemployed. So the media come up with tricks and special definitions and all that to cover up Obama's failures. And now they're trying to count Trump out as a failed presidency because on day one, when he walked into the White House, the swamp didn't immediately disappear. I'm playing with you a little bit. You know, they didn't go that far. But anyway, look, there are a few things Trump boasted during his campaign that I winced at. And not because I didn't want them to happen, because, look, I understand the limitations of the presidency. He simply wouldn't have the power to do some of the things he said he was going to do. And this is one of those things. What I mean is the ban on lobbying. Trump cannot use an executive order to make a law that applies to Congress. And as far as banning his administration from becoming lobbyists, well, that's ludicrous. And I don't think it was ever within the meaning of his promise. He wanted to stop the corruption that is encouraged when people move into government jobs in order to give their own companies some kind of advantage in the marketplace, or they use their influence to benefit the companies they served before, or foreign powers and so on. Trump said, quote, "We've defended the borders of other nations while leaving our own border wide open for anyone to cross and for drugs to pour in at a now unprecedented rate," end quote. Now, all the fact checkers could do with this one was say, well, the illegal transportation of marijuana across our border has decreased. But then they have to admit, because they're clever liars, you see, in the way they frame these things. They had to admit in there, kind of buried. That's probably because of the many states legalizing it. And then they offer another admission. Heroin traffic, however, has dramatically increased across our border with Mexico. Probably, by the way, funding terrorists. And I'm just adding that. As for illegal immigration rates, well, the point is that Trump did not say anything about the rates of immigration, you know, except later to point out that it's beginning to work the other way. But the Washington Post fact checkers focus on the fact that in 2000, we hit our peak at 1.6 million crossing our borders, and then it's gone down from there since then, okay? That doesn't change the fact that we've left our border wide open for anyone to cross. That's, you know what I mean, how they do this. You know what? This is boring me. Now, we could go through the entire speech, statement by statement by statement, and look at how the liberals twist and turn in their seats looking for ways to say Trump is lying or exaggerating and so forth. And it's just gotten boring to me. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to summarize it. I've looked over the entire speech. I've investigated the rebuttals put forward by the liberals. And it's the same kind of nonsense we hear all the time. For example, attacking his statement that 94 million Americans are out of work by using the Obama shell game trick of identifying the unemployed as including only those who are without work that are looking for employment. They don't want to include the number of those who make up the employable but not employed, and those that are 16 and over who are out of the workforce. And the fact is that number has risen significantly during Obama's presidency. And that, my friend, is the point. But my take on the Trump speech was that it presented an encouraging look forward from a platform that has hit the ground running in the direction he's forecasting for us in this speech. So it makes it believable. I give it 2 thumbs up. Yeah. Well, 1 thumb is only a bit slanted the other way, because 3 words were missing in this speech. Audit the Fed. I really would like to see something done about that. But I must say, it is fun watching the libs squirm in their seats. Now, they simply were not ready for what they got from Trump in this speech, let me tell you. I'm watching these libs blinking, you know, with a bit of concern in their voice as they admit Trump came off, quote, profoundly different, end quote, Tuesday night, you know, that the, quote, tone, end quote, was so different. One said it was, quote, the same speech he's been giving over the last couple of months, but the striking thing was the tone, end quote. Indeed, Trump kept his conversational quality in his delivery, but he didn't swerve into any of his Trumpisms. All the libs were impressed by his tribute to Ryan Owens, and so was I. The progs talked about the, quote, soaring rhetoric and big, big promises, end quote. They talked about Trump's willingness to go all in his opposition to hate crimes. That impressed them, for him to open up his speech on that point, on that note. In fact, Jonathan Carl, ABC chief White House correspondent, said, quote, I was thinking as I was watching this, particularly at the end of the speech, is this the same Donald Trump that we saw give that speech on the Western Front of the Capitol for the inauguration, where he talked about American carnage and where he lashed out at the political class, both parties? This was an entirely different message, end quote. And then, as I mentioned, Jones. Well, he wasn't the only one to say Trump became president in that speech. Alex Castellanos of ABC also made this ruling. Quote, Donald Trump was inaugurated on January 20th, but I think he became president tonight, end quote. And then he said something that we better listen to. He referred to this as the, quote, long-awaited pivot, end quote. He explained this pivot was not, quote, a change in positions, but a change from politics to governing. Now, this brings me to the conclusion. And I must say, I have not seen or heard in his actions or in this recent speech anything that causes me concern that Trump is pivoting to the left. And, you know, forgive me, Trumpets, for continuing to keep a wary eye on the commander-in-chief. But let me encourage you to not let up in your prayers and your prayers and fasting, your earnest spiritual warfare on behalf of our country, because you must know the devil is a clever liar. And he is certainly a formidable foe. Now, I know the scriptures that tell us greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that Jesus dropkicked the prince of this world out. and spoiled his house and made us kings and priests and gave us power over unclean spirits and commissioned us as ambassadors of Christ to the nations. I know. I'm very aware that our weapons are spiritual, not carnal, but powerful to the pulling down of strongholds. I know. How much more Bible do you need me to reference before you can believe that I do understand our power, our authority, and the supply of divine energy to effect the will of God on earth as it is in heaven? If we will war by faith, but I also know that Satan is the prince of the power of the air and that spirit that works in the children of disobedience to war against the purposes of God in the earth. And I know that before the close of the canon of Scripture, Satan had already succeeded in hindering the work of the Apostle Paul at least once and turned an entire nation against him by the end of his ministry. And he had such influence among God's people, Paul himself warned us to beware lest he gets an advantage over us. And by revelation, by the time we come to the book of Revelation at the end there of the canon, Satan had succeeded in establishing his seat, that is his throne, in Pergamos. I know that our warfare is real, and that just because we know that we win in the end, that doesn't guarantee we win every battle that we face right now. Nor does it mean that our battles aren't real, or that they do not have real, even eternal consequences. And my point is that the devil is not going to simply let go and go away. He's fighting. In fact, ever since John the Baptist began doing his thing, the devil dug in his heels and began to war. We live in a time when such devils hold so much ground in our land that, friend, it's going to take a lot more than routine Christianity to deal with it. We need to step it up, fasting and praying, learning to war in the Spirit. But I'm out of time right now. You come Sunday night, I'll be talking about this. Let's pray that the left does not figure out how to get Trump to relax and start moving toward them. Man, if they stop attacking him, we just might start relaxing and giving in to them. And that could derail what could have been, or could be, the greatest comeback for our nation since Reagan. And even better, watch and pray, my brethren, because the devil's a clever liar, and we must be, therefore, sober, vigilant. For our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know you see they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That is 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me on our listen response hotline. Or go to our webpage, brainmassage.net. That's right, brainmassage, one word, brainmassage.net. And then you'll find a place there to send me a message. You'll also find a place there, please, now, to help me out financially with our broadcast costs. And I would appreciate any help you can give me. It is needed. And by the way, you can like us on Facebook. We're working on developing our Facebook page. We got some controversy with Facebook right now, trying to figure out how to deal with all some of these things. So, but anyway, you can go to Facebook, my Facebook page. You can like that page. You can get on there and correspond with me that way as well. Or LinkedIn or any number of other ways. If you're in a hurry when you call, by the way, you can just say lights on, lights off, hang up. But if you will, please leave a message for me. I'd love to hear from you. God bless you. God bless America, and I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon